We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. I'm in
over my head. This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems, he's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA Home Improvement Shop, this is The Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. And that's about as good as it's going to get, boys. That is it. I have got the creepy crud in my voice. Apologies to everybody that has to listen to me sound like Terry Martin. But I woke up Monday morning and I went, Alexa, Alexa. Nothing came out. So welcome to the show. This is The Home Show on WRVA. I am joined by Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement.
Good morning.
And Everett from BreeMac.
Good morning.
Two of my favorite people that came in here out of the goodness of their heart to save my pathetic butt, because this is as good as the voice gets. It is not going to get any better than this. So thank you, gentlemen, for both coming in. What's been going on in your worlds? Starting with Kirk.
Just had the home show up at the Meadow Event Park.
Yes.
Introduced a new window.
Yeah, you were slamming a bowling ball into it.
That's right.
We're definitely going to have to talk about that at some point. And Everett, what's going on new over at BreeMac? Anything at all?
We're just beating the bushes, trying to keep everybody warm.
Trying to keep everybody warm. Well, we're going to talk about heat pumps at some point, because there's been a great hoodly-hoo, a schism, if you will, about whether run emergency heat, don't run emergency heat, let it come on by its... I'm so confused at this point, I think I'm giving bad information. And you, sir, we're going to discuss some windows, because I went to open a window during one of those warm days. Glass just fell out of it. Just, there it is. And I haven't fixed it yet. So we will be discussing that. But first and foremost, I want to put a hit out on Punxsutawney Phil.
Yes.
Die, rodent, die.
I was trying to gather some support so we could make a road trip, but...
And see, the only person that's happy about this is Zach, my new producer, Zach. They told me they call you Quiet Zach. Is that accurate?
Horribly inaccurate,
Horribly inaccurate.
It's dreadful. I don't know where it came from.
This guy right here likes the cold and wants it to be cold.
Oh, no.
So, you know...
Alaska's still taking people.
Yeah, man. You could do radio up there. But this happens to me, though, about once a year when we have the weather changing back and forth, back and forth. And so February and September, I get this. I was worried it was the flu, but I did I checked. I didn't have a temperature, don't have any aches, pains, or anything like that. So it's just a head, throat thing. It's better than it was. You heard me a couple of days ago.
Yes, I did.
It was like this. Yes, you were really bad. But I swear, I've done everything I could to get rid of this thing. And if I drink one more hot toddy, I'm going to end up in rehab. That's what... tea with honey and bourbon. Okay, well, I found out about after the fourth one. You might not feel better, but you really don't care.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
cold, schmold, whatever.
Cold, whatever. Look, Breaking Bad is on. Okay, I'm good. So let's start with Mr. Everett. And it's William's son, right?
Correct.
Which means that you have Nordic blood in you.
Yes, we trace back to Irish and Scotch-Irish.
No, but see, the Williamson, that's more Nordic. Because if you go to Sweden and Norway, your son would be, whatever you call him, Everett's son.
Right.
And or Everett's daughter. So I figured at some point there was a Williamson. I was thinking about that at 3 o'clock this morning. Just so. Oh.
Good. Yeah, good.
The waste of space that is my brain.
The things that make Richard go,
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, I was still checking my eyelids.
Oh, no. I was up. It was miserable. So we're going to talk about heat pumps. Now, you put in the mini split at my place.
Yes.
And It does a great job until we hit these the 20s and teens is when it starts to go. It's just it's as bad as my voice. It's putting out heat, but it just can't keep up. What is a heat pump doing these days? I mean, I remember back in the day, a heat pump, it was pretty much standard. It hit 40 degrees or 45 degrees, you're done. You turn on the emergency heat. Not so much anymore.
No, when they mandated the efficiency increase, we went from 10 SEER to 13 SEER. It gave you that, you lowered the temperature where the balance point of the house was, where it could keep up. And then now we're at 14 SEER, and it's going to go to 15 here in another year or two. But those...
Explain SEER, because a lot of people don't get that.
SEER is a phrase that they made up that the...
Oh, it's made up. Good.
Yes. The Department of Energy made it up. You know, heaven forbid the government make up something. But it is called, it stands for Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio.
Makes perfect sense.
And it just is a way to gauge the quote-unquote performance of the unit, how efficient it can work on summertime.
Okay.
Yeah, because most of it is based on just the EER, Energy Efficiency Ratio, but nobody understands that. So.
I don't either, and you just explained it to me.
So, but anyway.
Did you get that, Kirk?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can go in here and let me draw this graph. But anyway, it's just a formula they came up with to say, hey, this is the performance level of this particular piece of equipment, and this is how much you can expect to spend on, you know, with your utility cost at this. This is what you can expect to spend. As we've increased efficiency, then the amount of heat we can extract out of the air has gone up. So our temperature at which we can put heat into the house has gone down. So instead of 40 degrees where they were starting to fall on their face, now we're down into the 20s. We've even got some that at 0 degrees, they will still keep the house
toasty,
warm.
Mm-hmm.
Warm.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, because I remember my dad was all about York heat pumps back in like 78.
Oh, the old champions and stuff.
Oh, my. He was into it. He was like, York heat pump. Yeah. And we built a manufactured house. You know, they came in two pieces, boop, glued it together, and you're good to go. And he put in the heat pump. And at 1978, I guess I was six, standing over top of this vent going, Dad, this air is cold.
Yep.
And he go, no, son, it's tempered. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Tempered. So it was supposed to be, if you want 70, 70 degrees came out of it. That was cold.
We called it cold heat.
Cold heat? Cold heat.
Cold heat.
That was a miserable situation.
Yes, it was. You'd still have icicles on your toes.
Absolutely. So, but heat pumps have gotten a lot better. Now you're saying they're going up to 15 SEER.
Oh, now we're up to 20. Well,
I mean,
20.
Minimum, though.
Yeah.
A minimum is.
Well, yeah, the minimum will go to 15 here in about 2 years.
All right, because one of my listeners, he runs a heating air conditioning company in Williamsburg, and he caught up with me at one of the home shows. He's like, no, he caught up with me at the Celtic Highland Games. He goes, you keep saying 13 SEER is the minimum. It hasn't been the minimum for like 2 years or something like that. I guess it went up to 14 when?
About 2 years ago.
Okay, so I'm a little behind on the times. That's okay. So, again, this is about as good as this voice is going to get, so I'm appreciating you guys coming in here. But we're going to talk heat pumps. We're going to talk windows. And I had a fire at the house. Almost burned Casa de McCann to the ground.
Good job.
Yeah, it was not. It was an accident, but this is one of the things that happens if you have a fireplace or a wood stove. And so we're going to talk about some fire safety. I'm sure you've dealt with more than your share of fires over the years.
A few here and there.
A few here and there. And I'm sure you've seen a heat pump or two go up in flames.
Oh, yeah. I gave up firefighting a long time ago.
Yeah, my name is Richard McCann. This is the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. That's 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. I'm joined by Everett from Bremac and Kirk from Aikie's Home Improvement. Which, wait a minute, it's Aikie?
It is Aikie, but we let everyone pronounce it Aikie because otherwise you don't know how to look us up.
Oh, okay. See, I lose my mind when people misspell it.
So Aikie is just fine. We don't mind. You write us checks, we're going to smile. No question about it.
Yeah, I used to tell people, it's like, you know, just make it out to the Christian Association for Social Harmony, or CASH for short.
Yeah.
Actually, it was very funny. When I was in business, people say, well, how can I pay you? They'd ask me if I take credit cards, which I never did. I'm sure you kind of have to these days.
Kind of have to.
Oh, yeah.
But I used to, I'd say, I'll take cash, check, pretty watches, or firearms. I've been given cash, I've been given check, and amazingly, a large amount of firearms. I had one lady, she said, Richard, I understand that you like guns. I'm like, well, like is not exactly the right word, but yeah, I know how to use them. And her mother, she says, my mom has a gun that she wants to get rid of. I'm like, okay, well, what's the problem? She goes, well, I've never seen it. I mean, what do you mean you've never seen it? She says, well, it's in her cedar chest. My dad brought it back from Vietnam. And she's tried to get people to take it away and nobody will touch it. It's like, is it loaded? I don't know. Does it? She knew nothing about it. So we went to her mother's house and she brings out this thing wrapped in tissue paper that she had every couple of years she would wrap in fresh tissue paper. And it was a World War II Japanese Nambu, which if you don't know what that is, because I didn't know what it was the pistol that kamikaze pilots carried. And it is known as being the worst firearm ever made in the history of mankind. Like a zip gun in Detroit would work better than this. It was most likely to blow up in your face. And this lady was terrified of this thing, didn't know anything about it. And so I carried it away for her. So,
is it in a case somewhere?
No. It was a terrible gun. I traded it into Green Tops for like a couple of, I think I bought some blades with it or something. Like it was a terrible. And here's the funny thing. Just like 2 weeks ago, I'm at my brother's house and he bought one at a yard sale. I'm like, that's like the worst firearm ever made, son. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, they weren't going to use it again.
Piece of history. I'm always looking for history.
No, there you go. Well, you know, I don't like owning things that don't function. I'm not big on stuff that's just pretty. I everything in my house serves a purpose of one way or another. Zach, what are you looking at me like I'm crazy for?
I'm literally the opposite way.
What, you're just all decorative and pretty in your house?
I mean, I do like function. I like things that have purpose for things that I will use, but I also like collecting things. Like when I heard you sold the Nambu, I was pretty upset.
Trust me, you can get another one. They're everywhere, you know? But it was a. What I thought was funny is that this woman had just, her husband brought it home, put it in that shell, and she's just had it for like, it was Vietnam, so it had been 40 some years at that time. So interesting enough. So we were talking about heat pumps, and people have been calling in. I mean, it's gotten pretty cold. What is it, 14 degrees right now? 15 degrees, I think, is what it is outside.
What does Andrew say it is?
Andrew Frieden? He's saying it's, I don't know, 18. Yeah. Zach's saying it's 15 degrees, so we'll go with Zach.
Okay.
Heat pump doesn't do it.
Oh, 13. 13 by the app.
These millennials and their phones.
I am older than you.
Yes. I just sound it. But we get into these temperatures. Heat pumps aren't cutting it.
Well, the newer ones, like we talked about before the break, was that as the efficiency has gone up, it is able to put more heat in. In the old days, you know, 5-6 years ago when we were looking at 10-series stuff, oh, yeah. When you got down into when the temperature was going to be down in the teens, single digits, and the highs were in the 30s, put it on emergency heat and let it just rock. At least the thing will cut off. You were getting some heat out of it, but you were going to be in the electric heat most of the time anyway, and you're paying for the compressor to sit there and grind away, eat your electric bill, and not get much out of it. Now, I let the heat pump do its thing.
Now, I had somebody call in. She said, Richard, my thermostat says I'm in emergency heat. But she hadn't switched it over, and it wasn't keeping up. Is there a difference between emergency heat and the strip heat? Because there wasn't when I was doing this for a living.
Yeah, they'll call it emergency heat. And you may see the icon come up. If it says emergency heat, then that takes a physical action to change it from regular heat to emergency heat. Emergency heat locks out the outdoor unit and only runs off the electric strips in the fan coil or whatever your backup heat source is. If you see auxiliary heat, it's the same heat, electric heaters.
Uh-huh.
It's just being the thermostat's asking it to come on to help out the heat pump because the heat pump's not keeping up.
So you're saying when we get in temperatures like this, just switch it over to emergency heat?
No, if you have newer equipment, I'd let the heat pump run because you're getting heat out of you're getting heat from outside, and you're going to be in the electric heat, but you're not going to be in it as bad as you had some of the old lesser efficient equipment.
So it depends on what your SEER is.
Exactly.
So if it's 13 or less, probably you would gonna go ahead and kick over to your electric heat, your kick over to the emergency heat on manually.
Yeah, certainly 10C or less. Yeah, definitely.
So anything
that's what I used to do at my house.
So anything over what, 6 years old, seven?
I'd probably say anything from about 7, 8, 10 years, especially 10 years old, 10 years old and older. Yeah, when you get down in the real cold temperatures, flick it over and let her do her thing, and then when the temperatures come back up, put it back in regular heat again.
Because usually it's an ice box in here. You guys have all been in here when we could swing meat. I don't know if it's because we have so many bodies or what, but it's toasty right here in the home improvement shop today.
Comfortable for me.
Comfortable for you. You're wearing a sweater.
Yeah, I'm going to peel out of this thing before long.
Well, you know, the thing I was wearing, that is actually military issue thermals. That's supposed to be good for like negative 20 degrees. Which Zach would be very happy in negative 20 degrees. But I'm not. So now, keeping some minor things to do, keeping leaves and snow and everything like that away from your outdoor unit, pretty important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I had a conversation with somebody the other day. The heat pump, the compressor is the heart of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Just like our heart. It's pumping the refrigerant. We pump blood, it's pumping refrigerant. The coils are the lungs. That's how it breathes. And if it can't breathe, it doesn't do so well. If we don't breathe, we don't do so well. So you stop them up with leaves, you know, snow, dirt, and ice. You know, you see a lot of times where the heat pumps are sitting underneath the gutter. You have a wide eave, and they're underneath the gutter. Nobody cleans the gutters out, so it rains or it snows or whatever. The ice melts, and the water trips off the comes out of the gutter, lands right on the heat pump, and turns it into a giant ice cube.
You know what I look for when I do a home inspection is I'll look at the outdoor unit. I can tell if they have a boy dog or not.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is about boy dogs liking to wee on the outdoor unit, but you'll see like this about 2.5 inches high all the way around.
Corrosion.
Yes.
I went to one in King's Charter, and I forget what the breed of the dog was. The unit was less than 5 years old, and there was a section of fins missing that would, it was like about 3 basketballs area that he had eaten off.
Oh, no, 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 no. Keep
fence, fence,
fence, exactly. Exactly.
And the guy wanted to give me grief because of the dog. I said, it's the dog. Shoot the dog.
No, don't. Are you trying to get me killed? Do you know how crazy listeners are about their dogs?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. What she's best to do is probably whatever it meant was put a little fence around the other.
Yeah.
My name is Richard McCann. I'm joined by Everett from REMAC, Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. We'll be taking your calls 345-1140. That's how you get through to the home show on News Radio, WRVA 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. Richard McCann on the home show, News Radio, WRVA. You know, there's people that say, you ask them, what's your favorite song? And everybody says the same thing to me. Oh, I don't know. I have so many favorite songs. I am not that person. I know very well what my favorite song is. I know the song that they'll play at my funeral if and when I ever leave this mortal coil. And it's I Get By With A Little Help From My Friends by Joe Cocker. I'm not kidding. And today, I'm getting by with a little help from my friends. I called both of you, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
And I was...
Well, yeah, it's...
It wasn't good.
Not good.
It wasn't good at all. But I don't have the flu. It's just this stuff that I get about once a year. You said you get it from time to time yourself.
Yep.
So I have Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. I have Everett from BREMAC. Gentlemen, welcome. Let's talk to Kirk for a minute, because you had a pretty good home show from what I understand.
We did.
Now, I was out there. I don't know that I've been to that home show before. This is the first time they've ever invited me out, and I usually didn't go on my own. I figured, oh, it's the same stuff I always see. Pretty darn successful home show, don't you think?
It was good. It's the first time we've done that particular show in a couple of years, but we were very pleased with the results.
Because this was last weekend at the Meadow Event Park, and most people don't think about a home show in January. I was sending people out to you, though, saying, isn't this the time to start planning for those spring projects?
It sure is, or you will be far behind if you wait till spring and want your project. you may be fall.
To really?
It is insanely busy.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
It is. We started getting busy as spring broke last year, you know, March, and we've not slowed down.
Now, for me, when I was in the service trade, January, February, we just sat around staring at each other.
Typically, yes. We were not just like, this year.
Like the phone wouldn't ring. How about you? How's business right now? Are you guys rolling? Or
yeah, it's been really busy on the service side since probably Thanksgiving.
Okay,
and then install side has been kind of up and down, but service we've been clicking along.
That's a beautiful thing, and I've been telling people, you can go to college and get a degree and try to find a job, but you go into the trades,
you're set.
You're going to make money, serious money. I mean, I was talking to Frank at Bremac, $15 an hour is for a helper. I mean, that's amazing. Now, you had a whole new display that I didn't get to see. I'm sorry. He comes over. Everett, you should have seen the look on his face. He comes over to me. He's like, we got a bowling ball. We're slamming a bowling ball into a window. Tell me about your new window.
Well, it's a window that I found at the National Remodeling Show that I go to every year.
That he didn't take me again.
Next year it's in Baltimore. We're good. I'm not taking you to Nashville.
I would be great in Nashville. No, I like, okay. So you went to the remodeling show.
I went to the National Remodeling Show and I saw this product there and like, I don't know how much that is, but I want it.
Oh.
So just earlier this, well, not this month, in early January, first week of January, we went to the plant and it was frigid.
Okay, first of all, you didn't tell us what it was. You didn't tell us the name of the company. Are you hiding the lead or what's going on here?
No. Well, the window is being manufactured for us. It's private labeled. You'll only be able to get it here in the Richmond market through us. It's the Performance Max window, and it is strong enough that it will take a bowling ball dead center hit and just bounce right off of it.
From how far?
Pulls out about a foot and a half, 2 feet.
Okay.
And it's an 8-pound bowling ball, and you can hear it thud throughout the building. To the point that it is getting on other vendors' nerves, but hey, it's our booth, and we have to listen to you talk about your jewelry cleaner over a microphone so you can listen to our thudding bowling ball.
You know what I've never understood is that, and I've seen them going, every fair, every home show, everything, the guys that sell the kitchen gadgets,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the deal with these guys? I mean, they must make money because
they make money. It's expensive.
Is it really that expensive?
Yeah, but my wife loves hers.
Oh my God!
All right. She has one piece, and she's like, "When can you get me some more of this?"
Uh-huh.
You have to come to the home show to get it.
Oh my! Again, she's like, "I've been to enough of those. I'm not going back." So you've got what's the purpose though? I mean, a window like this.
Everything about the window is built with the design of being that it's not going to break down on you.
Meaning
that your frame's not going to crack. That your seal on the window isn't going to give up. That you're not going to have glass breakage. And if you do, there's a no-fault glass breakage warranty on it forever.
So if little Johnny hits the baseball and it slams into that window.
You get a new window sash.
Wow.
Free of charge.
That's amazing. And so is it going to be called the Aiki window or?
No, it's the Performance Max window by Aiki Home Improvements.
Okay. All right. Well, because the other day we had a warm day. My windows are from 1929. And I went over and I threw open the sash and one of the panes just went, just fell out. It didn't even break. That was the
sash. That's good.
That was actually kind of like, it just was so pathetic. You know what I'm saying? Just there it goes. So I can look forward to getting one of these windows.
You sure can. Let's try and get together at your place this next week and get it measured so that we can get it on order for you.
Yeah, because I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 windows in the downstairs of my house, and all of them eventually are going to have to be replaced.
Right.
But, I mean, what's a ballpark?
We'd rather not discuss that on there.
Because it's 33 by 55. I did measure it the other day. It's a standard window. But you do a lot of windows and doors.
We do. We do a fair amount of windows, more windows than doors, but whatever the customer needs.
But because windows generally, I mean, we've been putting in vinyl windows for, what, 30 years? And
30-some years, yeah.
And even that, you know, when they were put in, you're like, oh, they're vinyl windows, they're double glass, blah, blah, blah. We're replacing those now. And
yeah, the technology is so much better on the insulated glass now as opposed to back then. Insulated glass back then probably lasted you 10 years tops. Now, you know, where you might have one window out of a house full where you'd start having seal failure. Now it's very rare to have seal failure on the technology that we have. It's almost at a zero.
You see, because I was showing a house to one of my former producers, Andrew. You knew Andrew. Mm-hmm. You did not.
I don't think I did.
No, Andrew left here and became a cop, which is funny. He's the third former producer I know that went into law enforcement. I don't know. And I showed him a house. It was a big, beautiful house. It was built in the 80s. The big thing that I could ding him on, though, as a home inspector is it was from the 80s, but the windows had lost their seal. They were getting that stuff inside, in between them, getting all fogged up. It was a wooden window, so it was starting to rot away, too.
Right.
So, it's pretty easy, though, to put in a window if you know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing.
It's been a long time for me. You're going to have to show me again.
No problem. We'll put it in.
I appreciate that. I really do, because I remember the first time we put in, I'm doing the air quotes, everybody, replacement windows, was in the fan. First time I'd ever put some in, and it was like 91. And these windows were taller than me.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, they were massive. And we put in all the windows, and it wasn't a month later, the Historic Society came around and lost their minds.
Yeah.
And they're like, you haven't put in those windows. This is a historic site. You have the little thing on the front. That's a thing. If you're in a historic area, you can't change out the windows on the front of your house.
On the front.
Where's the sense in that?
Yes, we want you to spend more on energy.
Yes.
When you can have a window that looks exactly like the old window you had.
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, we're going to put in. See, here's the thing, though. Everett, you see what he's doing? He's going to give me one. It's like a Coke dealer over here. I'm like, no, here the first taste is on us.
It's like Girl Scout cookies.
That's right. You can never eat just one.
I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't. I've dropped 20 pounds, so I'm going to stay away from the Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, until they come out.
Yes. My dad had a cousin whose daughter literally sold so many cookies that they dropped a tractor trailer at her house so that she could give out all the cookies that she sold.
Wow.
Unbelievable. All right. So hopefully we'll take some calls here soon. 345-1140. That's how you get through to the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. Also, do me a favor. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Are you on Facebook, Everett?
I am not.
Okay. Are you on Facebook, Kurt?
I am. And we have a company page as well.
Spell that out for them.
Aikes Home Improvements, AIKEYS Home Improvements.
Outstanding. Because I know you follow me pretty tight.
Yeah.
I can't put anything up on Facebook without him going, huh? He's commenting. My name is Richard McCann. This is The Home Show. Rich McCann, News Radio, WRVA. This is The Home Show. You can find us on 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. Have you guys listened to the 96.1 FM yet?
We have.
Yes. It does sound slightly different, doesn't it?
It's clearer.
It is clear. I like it. I like the way it sounds. It's good stuff. So, You're working out on the regular now, Kirk?
I am. I'm up to 3.5 miles a day on the elliptical. Right now I'm not doing a whole lot of weights because I'm in training for my first Monument Avenue 10K.
Running without being chased.
I'm not sure you would call what I do running.
Shuffling?
Every day I'm shuffling.
See here? I try to be funny. I don't try to be a jerk. But I've been out to the 10K once. Okay, I didn't run it. I was cheering somebody on. And up and down the route, they have all these people that are cheering you on. And they got, you know, signs and playing musical instruments like, you can do it. Get out there. And I thought, wouldn't it be the greatest thing in the world to go out there and start a heckling booth have a sign like, aren't you getting tired? 10K is a long ways to go. I'm having a cold beer right now while you're sweating. It's stuff like that. I don't know. I always thought that would be.
Something I don't think you'd stay around long.
No.
Well,
it might be frowned upon.
It might be frowned upon. It's
just saying.
I'm sir, just come saying. With us.
So, Everett, I have a mystery I'm hoping you can help me with. A friend of mine, who seemed to be my brother-in-law, in fact, has a two-car garage. In the two-car garage, he had a window air conditioner to cool it down, as one does, right?
Right.
It caught fire. Now, one, I'm not sure how it could have caught fire. I've never seen one catch on fire before. But the only clue I've got is that underneath this unit, at where it sat in the window, was a desk. And it looked like it had a hole burned through it. Have you got any ideas on that?
Could have been the compressor got overheated and it took the wires out. And
what do you think, the oil released from the unit itself?
Yeah, could have. If the fire got hot enough, that tubing in there is not very thick. And the older units, they use little capillary tubes. Mm-hmm. They're about the diameter of a pencil, yeah. Number two pencil lid. And it doesn't take much to burn those things through.
Okay, so let's talk about window ACs. And I'll come back around to you here in a second because there's part of this. A window air conditioner, what's the service protocol on something like that? Because there's people that's all they have.
Take it to the dump and buy a new one.
Oh, come on now.
No, seriously, those are made to be disposable. There's no access that we can get into it. We have to put an access fitting in it to check the refrigerant. And by the time you do all the labor and stuff to get the thing apart, put the access fitting in, and then try to charge it back up, you can buy a new one.
So what about cleaning the coils? Can I spray down that myself? Is that something that people would do?
Yeah, you really need to take it outside and do it, because the problem is the dust and dirt. You look at the coil on the outside,
yeah,
that's the exhaust end of the coil. The intake end of the coil is in the middle,
right,
where the fan is. So you don't see that very easily. So when you take it outside, you have to take it out of the case so you can see the coil on both sides and then clean it off. You can use something like 409 or Fantastic to help clean the chemical, clean the stuff off of it.
Okay.
But cleaning that, keeping the filter clean in it, or putting a filter in it, most of them don't have filters in them.
Yeah, I've got to clean the filter on my new mini split, and I still haven't figured out how to open that thing up.
Grab it at the bottom and lift up.
Okay, I'll get up there and do that. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because I got a mini split put into Casa de McCann, but for the last, I don't know, since air conditioners existed, it had a major window unit in the dining room, which I've replaced twice at $600 a pop.
Big, heavy sucker.
It took two men and a boy to put that thing in the window. It really, really did. I can't do it myself. But now, here's the situation. Spring is on its way. I have this massive unit in my window that I don't need anymore, but there's a problem. That window hasn't been closed in 50, 60 years. How can I take it apart and put it back together so it'll open and close?
Well, I'm sure there'll probably be some sanding
I'm gonna kick
prying
back
and repainting some things, because it's been in the open position. It's not been able to be maintenanced. So, you may have a little difficulty closing it. You might want to consider us having a new replacement window ready to go into that opening.
Gee.
He's trying to sell me hard, isn't he?
No. Well, he just said that he would replace it. He didn't talk price yet.
Oh.
And if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Well, pretty much.
We have financing.
We have financing available. Oh, man. There goes my talent fee for the next 3 years. Just gone. But I thought, I've redone wooden windows before. You can pop the trim, pull the sashes out, and break them loose that way, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a matter of course, different wood windows are built different. Yours probably have the rope and pulley.
They do.
Oh, I love those.
Patting myself on the back just a little bit. We had a loft building up in Manhattan with windows that literally, the pane of glass was like 4 foot by 4 foot. That's how big each sash was. And they were painted completely shut, probably been shut for 70 years. But I was, we took them apart. By the time I was done, I could lift and I could open and close those things with two fingers. And what amazes me when I did that is I thought, how much smarter than us were our grandparents that they figured out the exact weight to put into a window that it would open and it would and stay open or close and stay closed and not break. Yeah. I mean, we don't have that kind of tech now.
Well, we do, but it's all in a computer. Nobody actually knows those equations anymore.
Nope.
Unbelievable. So as I'm, what are you seeing as far as HVAC coming into the new season? Is there stuff that's coming out that's new and fresh and hot? I mean, mini splits are getting pretty popular these days.
We're getting more calls about mini splits now. And the technology is, we just did one not too long ago where we put three heads in and one outdoor unit. And with the heat, trying to get the heat out of it, the unit outdoor units are bigger. That thing stood 4.5 feet tall.
Mine only stands about 2.
Yeah. Yeah. This thing was massive. When I saw it come in, I went, goodness gracious. And it's only got three heads on it, but it's pretty high capacity. And it does one of those old row houses in Richmond. And basically she just had three areas of the house that she wanted to heat and cool. With that unit, we pulled out a conventional system that was just a mess. I mean, rodents were getting into the flex duct and whatnot. So we got all that stuff out. But when we got it started, I measured 127 degree air coming out of it.
I don't think I'm getting quite that temperature out of mine.
Well, it was 40 degrees outside, 47 degrees, upper 30s.
Like I said, my mini split works great until it hit about 30. Then yep. It starts to struggle.
Well, the volume of air that you're trying to condition is, if the room were smaller, if you blocked off like the hallway going back to the back part of the room, just hang a blanket or something just to trap the heat in the kitchen, the dining room, and the living room, you'd see it, the temperature in those rooms come up.
I will start closing that door. 345-1140 is a phone number. You have a frozen pipe story that we want to talk about get back.
We got a few of them.
Oh, my goodness. And there's some roofing questions I've got. And I want to talk to you about geothermal heat pumps because eventually I want to build a house out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm thinking a geothermal is the way I want to go. Are you still installing those?
Yes.
Do you still like them?
I still do.
There.
I worked on one a couple of weeks ago that was 35 years old.
My father just resurrected one, but I don't like the way that one was done. It was one of those pump it out of the well and dump it into a creek.
Pump and dump, yep.
I'm not a fan at all. My name is Richard McCann. I'm joined by Everett from Bremack, Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. Follow me on Facebook. That's Richard McCann, McCann. Zach, I am understanding that podcasting is back for the home show. Am I accurate with that?
Yes. Matt's told me the other day that we are up, and what are we now on iTunes and Google Play as well?
Outstanding. So for all of you people that have been whining about the podcast, stop. It's up, okay? There's so much Richard McCann out there. You should be able to drive at least halfway across the country just listening to my voice. You know, here's the thing. I could do my job with just, oh, I broke my leg. I can do my job. Oh, I injured my hand. I can do my job. I lost my voice. And that's kind of a problem.
Problem.
Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement is here to give me a hand. So is Everett from Bremack. Gentlemen, welcome. Good
Thank
to
you.
See both of you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It is super. Am I allowed to say super? Am I
Large
allowed to say that?
Game
the
day.
Big game thing. I know there's like copyrights or something like that, Zach. I'm not sure on this, though.
They have to find us first.
I have no idea. I know our other stations have been talking about it. I don't know if they've said the name exactly.
Okay, well, I'm going to say it's Super Bowl. Are you going to watch Super Bowl, Everett?
I am not.
Why not, man? Aren't you going to? That's when you get together with friends and Frank has everybody over. And
well, one, I got to get up early on Monday morning to drive to D.C. for 2 days of meetings.
Oh, okay.
So, but I'm just more of a college sports fan, not so much a professional sports fan.
And you said you are definitely watching.
I am watching it, having a few friends over.
I don't remember being invited, but that's.
Well,
don't worry.
We can make some room for
that's you. That's all right, dude. Who knows what this actually is? You know, I want you to know that I have sterilized the room. We sprayed everything down with Lysol. This is not the flu. I did double check that, you know. And you got to be careful out there. The flu is extra, extra nasty.
It's nasty.
Which brings me to something. Again, I was thinking about at 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's talk about air purification real quick with Everett. I mean, back in the day, we just had those electric air purifiers, you know, basically a bug zapper in the HVAC. Things have changed drastically, haven't they, in the world of air purification?
Oh, yeah. Since in the recent years, it's been a lot of improvements in it. You've got capture and kill technology and in filtration. You've got devices that will make a hydroperoxide compound that will be injected out into the air and kill bacteria, microorganisms, you know, bacteria, viruses, mold spores. So there's a lot of stuff out there.
Now, I bought a unit. I got talked into it at the state fair probably 12 years ago, and they claimed that it would kill 99.9632% of, and it had an ultraviolet ray light in it, and it was a unit. It stood on my desk, and when I walked into my house, it smelled like I was walking into a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. You know that chlorine smell. What exactly is that?
Ozone.
Ozone? Mm-hmm. But I thought ozone was bad.
In large quantities, yes, ozone is bad. Ozone is a respiratory irritant, but if you produce it in a small amount, you have ozone in your house all over the place. You've got flat panel TVs, you've got microwaves, you've got toasters, you've got every electronic, you know, your stereo. Every electronic device creates ozone. Now, it's in such a minute amount that you don't smell it. So the ozone generators produce it in a much stronger quantity, in a much more concentrated quantity, and that's why you can smell it. So, but there are people that are ozone sensitive, and you cannot just put it in there. You got to be very, very careful.
So can I go out and buy some type of air neutralizer, ozone producer thing that actually works, or should I be thinking more along the lines of, no, I need to have something installed in my HVAC system?
Well, the best way to – those little devices that you put on your desk, or there was a company that was marketing this air purification thing that ended up going bankrupt. And
I have one that plugs into the wall, and I got it from you.
Well, no. There was another one. It was a tower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's a, but its effective range was like a foot and a half.
Yeah.
So if you were sitting next to it in your chair, you were good. But if you walked across the room, you got nothing. But you have to get them that are designed to work. Basically, what's the best way to distribute that stuff throughout the entire house? Through the heating and cooling system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get one that's designed to work with the heating and cooling system, that's the best way to do it. That plug-in model that you've got, yes, it's good for up to 800 square feet.
Oh,
so
okay.
Once you put it in the wall, it'll do a large room, or it'll do a couple of rooms. It has a limited effective range, but if you get one that's designed to go in the ductwork, and it can do up to 2,000 square feet.
Because the one you've been in my house, that should be big enough to do what? The bedroom?
Yeah.
About that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. This is why you guys are here. Now, something I'll say real quick with people, because there was a company out there when I first started doing this that was, and they're gone.
Yes.
But they were selling an air purifier, HEPA filter, seal your duct. It was like $3,000, which I think your company is one of the few that still has parts for it.
Right.
But they were installing this without testing the air. Shouldn't you really test your air in the home to find out what it is you have before you start neutralizing it?
It's nice to know what's in the air. Now, there's a product called Air Advice, which we have one. It will test for temperature, humidity, VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds, which are chemicals, or mold. When it grows, it gives off, as it's colonizing, it will give off those chemicals that register as VOCs. So you can tell if you've got mold spores that are blooming. And it also count particles. It doesn't tell you what's in those particles. The only way you can do that is take an air sample, take it to the lab, and let them run an analysis on it. But there is a way to test it and see. Yep, here, reach in the air. Yeah, right.
Kirk's over here going, how do you capture air?
So, but it'll, you know, like I said, it'll count the number of particles. So it'll tell us, you know, how dusty the air is. And that gives people a chance to see, okay, this is what I need to do. Then you can prescribe solutions to whatever it reports.
Now, Frank told me that his mother, and his mom doesn't listen, she had something moldy growing on her ceiling, and he installed an air night in her house.
Yes.
And it actually
killed it.
It produced it hydrogen peroxide, mm-hmm. which actually sterilized everything in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it eventually cleaned that up.
Yep. He said you could see it was an old farmhouse out in Illinois, and it had in the process somewhere along the line they put a steel beam in, and you could see where the moisture was following the steel beam in her bedroom, and the ceiling was turning black. And he put that air night in, and he said then it started turning brown, then it turned red, and then it just died.
Outstanding. Do you come across a lot of moldy houses there, Bubba?
We run into a few. We have some mold in one that we're starting the demolition on Monday from frozen pipe.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, if you listened to last week's show, I talked about the house where they had left the house to go on vacation, and they had a hot water pipe break, and they had a tankless water heater.
It's just going to keep on pumping.
And it melted the house. There's no other way to put it. Like, yeah. He said the walls.
It's a sauna.
It was. They came back, and it was just like rain coming down from the ceiling.
Well, not sauna, a steam room.
Steam room. Have you ever installed a steam room?
No.
Have you?
No.
I have, actually. It's not as much fun as it sounds.
No.
It's not anywhere near as much fun. It was kind of a nightmare, to be honest with you. But, hey, you know, there are days like this morning, I wish I would have given anything for a steam room in this kind of weather, or a sauna, anything to heat up. So that's where I'm at. 345-1140. That's how you get through to the home show with this croaky voice of mine and these two lovely gentlemen. And there's a millennial sitting in the corner. There is. He was Facebooking live, wasn't he?
He was. Oh, that okay. That is my production manager / son-in-law.
Son-in-law.
So right. Most places that he goes to pick up materials, you're the son-in-law.
No name, just the son-in-law.
The son-in-law. My name is Richard McCann, and this is The Home Show. What are you going to be doing in your house this spring? Whatever it is, you better start planning it now. That's why you need to call Kirk Akey at Akey's Home Improvement. 216-9371. That's 216-9371. Start planning those spring projects, because if you wait until spring, hey, he might not get it done until fall. So call Akey's Home Improvement. Whether you want to redo a kitchen, build that man cave, or how about a she shed out back? Call Akey's Home Improvement. Whether you're building out or building up, it's Akey's Home Improvement. Rich McCann, who's Radio WRVA. I honestly feel like I'm sounding a little bit better. A little bit?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I was going to cut a Tom Waits cover album while I was she's up against the register. This is the way Terry Martin feels all the time.
Which yes.
Both of you have met Terry.
Yep.
We got a nice little family going on. My name is Rich McCann. 345-1140 is the phone number, joined by Everett from Bremac, Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. You were telling me about a job you're getting ready to start that all began with a broken water pipe in this
town. Yes. It's a two-story house with an attic that is roughed in, and it is roughed in for a extra bathroom up there in this unfinished area. And the attic is mostly insulated, except where the water pipes are.
Oh, no.
And the supply lines are live. There's no shutoff at the second floor. So, uninsulated, 2-degree temperatures, frozen pipe.
Now, was
water
it?
Down two floors
now,
worth.
What type of piping was it? Because
It was copper.
It was copper?
Yes.
Wow.
House built around 1990.
Okay. All right. See, one of the things I've been railing against. Okay, first of all, everybody knows I don't like new construction. Sorry, I just don't. Which is kind of funny because the real estate company I work for also has a building division.
Right.
And they all know who I am and what I do. And they invited a bunch of us out to look at some of the new subdivisions that they were building. Now, here's the thing about a real estate company. Whenever they invite you to go someplace, you go because you're getting free lunch.
Yes.
Like, what? Free? Yes, I will go. And we were in a house that had been, I guess they were going for their rough-in inspection. Everything was in place. And I'm staring there looking at everything. And I actually liked the construction, which is rare. And then this person whispers in my ear, "Try not to be too hard on us." It was the owner of the company. But one of the things I've been railing against is CPVC piping.
Oh, me too.
When you're seeing going out there fixing this stuff, how often is it that versus copper?
It's about half and half.
Really?
We've got several of these frozen pipe jobs, and they're about half copper and half, you know, CPVC.
See, for me, I found that with the CPVC, it won't be just one place that breaks. Yeah. It
will shatter several locations.
Yeah, it just shatters like a chicken bone.
Water from everywhere.
So what do you have to do to this place? I mean, if it broke in the attic, is it a two-story?
Two-story. So we are completely gutting tile and everything, two full baths on the second floor. Every bit of carpet in the house.
In the entire house?
Every bit of carpet in the entire house. Ceilings, some walls. Hardwood floor downstairs, kitchen cap, the entire kitchen.
The entire kitchen?
The entire kitchen.
How long did this thing flow?
Many hours.
Oh, my. Now, what about the HVAC?
We'll be replacing some ductwork in the crawl space.
Okay, so what can happen with a broken pipe as far as HVAC is concerned? Can it just be dried out, or what's the potential there?
No, Flex duct, if that gets wet, it's got to go. If it's duct board, it's got to go. If it's metal trunk duct, the insulation particularly has to go. But depending on what was in the duct work, as far as dust and dirt and stuff, you may even have to replace the trunk duct too.
Wow, because something will start growing in all of that.
Absolutely. Exactly.
I can tell you, I know a house right now, I was doing a home inspection for the guy, which I like to do. And as I'm walking underneath this crawl space, I call it a crawl space, about 4 feet off the ground, which, face it, guys, 4 feet out of the ground is pretty sweet,
right? That's a nice crawl space.
Yeah. And I kind of bumped into one of the flex ducts, and it felt weird.
Squishy.
Worse. I like a real man, I carry a blade with me at all times. I punctured a hole into it, and about 3 gallons of water dumped out the flex duct. Don't even know where it came from. Couldn't begin to tell you, but there you go. It's like 3 gallons. I told me I'd have ripped that all of that out.
Yeah, got to replace it because you'll never get it completely dried out, and then what's growing in it?
Yeah.
Oof.
And so like in Kirk's case, what he's working with, if you got a furnace or air handlers underneath, the equipment may need to go too.
Why so?
Well, the protocols, especially from Gamma, the Gas Manufacturers Association,
I think he's just making up words now.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Sear, Gamma.
But it says if you got any gas appliance that got water in it, it's got to go.
Really?
Yes, sir. It doesn't specify. Now, theoretically, if it got into the blower motor or the gas valve, that's what you had to be concerned about. But, I mean, boilers, they just, you know, we had all those floods when the hurricanes came through. We were replacing equipment that got flooded. You know, boiler, cast iron, burners, you clean it out.
I know for a fact. I've rebuilt boilers that were, you know, flooded.
Yeah. But
I know for a fact.
The recommendations from Gamma, they got to go.
While the insurance company's paying for it, yeah, might as well let them upgrade, you know, give you today's equipment.
Yep.
Okay, so real quick, because we got about 2 minutes. Green board doesn't exist anymore, which was what we put behind sheetrock.
Yeah, we've still got green board.
We still have
it's either green or purple.
Because I saw the purple stuff.
Yeah, depends on where you buy it. From Big Blue, it's purple. From Big Orange, it's green. Two different brands of moisture-resistant rock.
But anymore, you don't even use moisture-resistant rock, do you? You just put in the Duroc, or is that strictly behind tile and in showers?
Yeah, just behind the tile, your ceiling and your non-wet areas, you're putting the moisture-resistant sheetrock in there just because of the humidity that's going to be in a bathroom.
Okay. All right. See, here's my problem is, and you may be able to help me with this, I have to put a receptacle in my bathroom.
Right.
I can do the electrical work. No problem. House is built in 29. Do you know how thick the tile walls are in my bathroom? I don't even know how I'm going to be able to cut into it to make put in a box.
Various tips on a roto zip.
Oh, no.
Things of that nature. Wear a dust mask, please.
Yes, yes,
and
indeed.
Eye protection.
Well, see, because I got one of those fancy toilet seats.
Yeah, I heard.
It's really cool. It like heats up, and I'll never have to buy toilet paper again. It'll even. No, I don't. No, you don't. It's because it sterilizes and sanitizes and blow dries. And
how long you got to sit there for that?
That is my concern. That is my concern. But if you, there is a very large stack of comic books right next to the,
all right.
The toilet.
Yeah, all right. Well, at least you have educational reading.
Well, yeah. Yes. Look,
I saved the universe. Come on.
I got in 10 seconds, I'll tell you the story. I got one of these things before, and they said you have to take a picture of your bathroom so they could use it for promotional material. So next to the toilet, I put Great Expectations, The Great Gatsby, the complete works of William Shakespeare, took the picture, sent it off. I got a note back. Richard, you're a jerk. This is The Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA, 1140 AM, 96.1 FM, joined by Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. Hey, Kirk.
Hello.
And Everett from BreMac.
Good morning.
How many times have you been on the show?
I don't know.
It's been at least a dozen over the years, if not more.
Probably.
I am proud of him. Both of these guys showed up early, though, because Everett's notorious for like 3 minutes before we go on air, just wandering.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
I need coffee. 345-1140. Let's jump in. JC.
Hey there, Richard. Morning.
What's going on in Colonial Heights?
A little cold weather this morning. I have a question about my heat pump there. It's fairly new. It's 5 years old, and I had to reduct it when I put it in with the flex duct. And there's two rooms in the house that I don't use. Would it be wise to shut the door and turn the heat ducts off in the rooms? Would that help the heat pump from running 24/7 when it's in the teens?
I don't know that I'd do that because when you start blocking that off, you're kind of putting a speed bump out there for the air, and and when that room gets really, really cold, that cold air is going to come through the interior walls because they're not insulated. So the whole duct system was designed to breathe together. So when you start blocking things off, you actually start putting extra pressure on the blower motor in the indoor unit.
Yeah, that makes sense. I thought about that. That's why I wanted to ask you first.
Yeah,
but anyway, that was my question. So.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, JC.
And I think I'll just leave it like it is and pay the utility bill.
Yeah, as you will.
All right.
Am I the only one that kind of got an Eeyore feel about that one? I guess I'll just leave them heated then and pay the bill. Now, see, I've got a room that, well, you'd be impressed by this. I have a two-bedroom house. The back bedroom I don't use for anything except storage. And so I gave it to my fiance, who has never done anything home improvement in her life, ever.
I saw the painted walls.
Exactly. She sanded, painted, buffed. It's great. But I did have to worry about, you know, if I kept that room closed and cold, what are some of the ramifications, not just to the room, but to the house? Let's start with you.
Well, depends on if there's plumbing in the area. That's certainly a big thing.
The tub did kind of have that closet in there.
You might want to keep that heated for that very reason.
Okay. But would is there any possibilities of mold or anything like that growing in that room because it's cold, you know, during the wintertime? I mean, am I going to end up with any extra types of humidity or anything?
It will, yeah, because water vapor doesn't want to be vapor. It wants to be water. So if the room's cold, you got really cold surfaces, and you have water, water vapor in the house from the shower or whatever, it's going to find whatever cold surface it can find and condense on. So now the paints, how well did they adhere to the plaster?
And then
they'll get behind it and peel off.
I will admit this, the trim did start to peel and pop. That was from moisture getting behind it?
Very possibly. Is it lead paint?
It didn't taste like it.
Okay. All right. Well, then you should be fine.
Okay.
Richard does have a different look about him, though.
I had a voice before I tried. No, actually, it's almost guaranteed there's lead paint in there.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's from anything before 1976. When in the real estate business, we have to give a disclaimer if the house was built before 1976. 78. Is it 78?
78.
78. Yeah. I passed that question on my test. I did pass that question on my test. But anything before 78, we have to say, yeah, there's a good, strong chance that there's lead paint in here. It's up to you to get it tested. But people get funny about lead paint. They think, oh, they're going to die or they're going to lose their brains or something. Really, it has to be powderized and you have to consume it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so how much lead abatement have you done?
We don't do lead abatement, but we are certified to do renovations. And if during the renovation we have to deal with it, there's certain protocols we have to adhere to. We basically put on our space suits and cover everything, and you have plastic everywhere, and there's an immense amount of cleanup. So if you do have lead paint, it can be pricey to do certain things. Other things where you're just not going to have as much cleanup. Just depends on the home improvement. Now, a homeowner does not have to follow any lead protocols because it's your house. If a professional is in there, they have to be licensed for it, and they have to follow the lead protocols, no exceptions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the floor I peeled out of the kitchen had asbestos in it back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure of it. All right, so I got one for him because you've been talking a lot. So yeah, Kirk Akey, here you go. Ready? Sammy, who listens to us religiously, says, so a 1950s 10x12 addition, cinder block, plastered walls with sheetrock ceiling, zero insulation, asphalt shingle roof. How does he insulate it and what type should he be using?
Well, I would, in any area I could, use spray foam.
Really?
Yes.
Into the walls.
Well, if it's cinder block wall, you're not really going to get that in there. You may be able to pump some cellulose or fiberglass fill type, blow in insulation into the cavities there. Other than that, frame up a wood wall and then insulate that. But anywhere you can put foam insulation, you're ahead of the game.
Okay, so I'm lost now because I have not had any real dealings with the spray foam. I know that's a thing now. Where are we putting this? Are you saying in the ceiling?
Attic, in your floor system, in walls, anywhere you can put spray foam, you're going to be much more, your R value is so much higher with it, and you can get away with less insulation. Eventually, they're going to be making walls pretty much have to go to 2x6, and you're going to pay extra for your framing package on building a house unless you go to spray foam, then you can keep it down to a 2x4.
Whoa.
And then you live in a thermos.
See, I'm not digging a thermos. The code states that you're not supposed to build it overly tight. Am I wrong on that? I recall reading that at some place.
Well, at some point you have to have mechanical air ventilation.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. My father, we had a shop. He built an office in the back of it with a bathroom. And he said, I'm not trying to be crude. He wanted it to be so insulated and so tight that if he broke wind, he would know about it 3 or 4 days later, which is kind of gross, but hey,
yeah,
that's what
we get the point.
Fathers do. Yeah, they're fathers, okay? I'm not going to be upset about it. But the thing was, there was a slight flood. A washing machine overflowed, went into that office. That place was rank. I mean, at all times rank, because it was so tight. What's the options on something like that?
The code now is coming out. Virginia, we're usually about 2 to 3 years behind the national code,
mm-hmm.
Because the legislature has to adopt it. But there's a standard called ANSI or ASHRAE. And
are you making up words again?
No, he is. But there's a ventilation standard that we now have to adhere to. And you have to bring a 6-inch duct from outside and tap it into their ventilation system, and there's got to be a damper on it, so when the system's off, that damper closes. But then when it comes on, you have to bring fresh air into the house because they're getting so much tighter.
Which happens when you open and close your doors as well.
Right.
Yep.
So they don't take that into consideration. They take into consideration it is locked tight at all times, and they transport the food into your house via Star Trek.
Beam it in, Scotty.
Well, see, I mean, that's what I always wondered. I'm like, why do we need this fresh air intake if I've got, you know, I'm opening
open
the door.
Open a window and you're good.
It can't be that much.
We just did a church not too long ago, and it was subterranean ductwork. Well, unfortunately, back in the 60s when that was put in, it had asbestos in that ductwork. It was like a concrete, and the duct system failed, so all that had to be abandoned. The only way we could do it was put mini splits in, multi-head mini splits. So we did that, and the code says for commercial, you have to have so many cubic feet of air for the occupancy. And at that time, windows were new, replacement windows, so you could say, oh, we can open the window and everything's fine. Now the code official gets to decide whether the windows can serve as fresh air, or you have to size the system for fresh air.
Which, with a mini split, there's no way to bring in fresh air.
No, not with that one anyway, with those heads.
345-1140 is the phone number. My name is Richard McCann. I'm joined by Everett from Bremac, Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. You can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. And for those of you been wondering, yes, the podcasts are back. You can find it on iTunes and on Google Play. This is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA. Rich McCann, News Radio, WRVA, 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. Remember, you can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Hey, Zach, Jordan's been making sure that I'm tweeting. Are you going to be taking care of that aspect of the job now that you're going to be with me for the month?
Oh, the tweeting?
Yes, I don't know anything about Twitter.
Oh, I'm going to have to show my hand here, but I don't have a Twitter account.
What?
He's going to have to charge you extra for that.
I don't pay him as it is.
I think we're at a loss here, Richard.
Oh no. Darn it. You Twitter?
Very little.
Really? Have you found that the Facebook and everything like that is good for business?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Now we don't run our business solely off of what comes in on that, but we have quoted a couple of jobs in the past year based off of it. And we are up in the past week 102 likes to our Facebook page, so I'm happy about that.
That's not
too
shit.
A little more exposure.
There you go. How about Bremac? What do they do as far as, you know, social media or Facebook, any of that type of thing?
Frank's got somebody he's working with that's helping him out with that. So.
I've noticed every now and then, you know, I'll see something from you guys and I'll put it up on my feed. And but I don't know, the whole social media thing, I could live without it. I honestly really could live without it.
Yeah, me personally, I don't do it. But like I said, the company's got a Facebook page and...
All right, so the kid in the corner asked what a mini split is.
It's also referred to as a ductless. The son-in-law.
The son-in-law. He doesn't even have a name.
The daughter's husband.
The daughter's husband. What's your daughter's name?
Holly.
Holly's husband asked a question.
She's still asleep.
Yeah. But...
So it's a heat pump or an air conditioner. It's got no ductwork. There's just a unit that hangs on the wall generally, or sometimes you can get one that hangs under the ceiling, or you can get one that's recessed in the ceiling, and then it's got an outdoor unit it works with and does a fantastic job.
And is very quiet.
Very quiet.
And they've been overseas for decades.
Yep.
You see them all the way. Now, I've had lots of people ask me about this last week, and I had a little situation myself this week. Everybody's worried about their crock pot catching on fire. Okay. Because the guy from Heroes, you know, dies because of a flaming crock pot. I was burning stuff in my fireplace. It fell out. And I had quite a little situation there. It rolled out onto the hearth and kicked up into the air about 2.5 feet. It started to burn quickly. Now, for me, the first thing I remembered was my training from being a kid, you know, is keep a calm head. First thing I did was grab a blanket and throw over top of it to help smother it. But even then, these new nylons and stuff like that, it's just plastic.
Burn. Yeah.
It's just plastic. And it did. I realized I did not have a fire extinguisher.
Bad, Richard.
I remembered I thought I had one in this house. And when I went to go grab it, it was not there. I don't know if one of my tenants took it or something like that. But let's talk about fires and fire extinguishers. What do you recommend for people? Because I know you've dealt with more than one fire in your time.
Yeah. Well, you want to have one. You should have a couple of them. You should have, if you're in a two-story house like yours, you should definitely have one up there available in the bedroom areas, because if you get into a fire, you got to have a way out. So it'll help you clear a way out. But also, you want to have one in the kitchen, most definitely. When we did a whole house renovation last year in the city of Richmond, we could not get our final inspection until there was a fire extinguisher in the kitchen.
Wow. So that's going to be something. Is that a code that I don't know about?
We are dealing with the city of Richmond.
Okay.
It took us 6 weeks to get the building permit, and I had to hold their hand through two levels of the permit.
Have things changed that much? I mean, I haven't been
It's the city of Richmond.
I never had a problem with the city of Richmond back in the day. I never had a problem.
Well, what they were saying is, we have a new computer system.
Well, there is always a new computer system. I will say that. There's always a new computer system. I tell you what, you cannot, by the way, neither one of you say anything bad about Chesterfield, because those guys do they listen to the show.
Oh, yeah. I love permitting in Chesterfield County compared to other counties. Mm-hmm. They're the best.
You know, people, they do rip on the inspector's office. And I believe it or not, someone actually asked me a couple of years ago, like, hey, we've got a job opening. Why don't you come and be an inspector? These guys have the worst job I've ever heard. I mean, they're expected to inspect 10, 15 houses a day. And what, I think their take home is 35, 37
a year. No idea.
Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, I don't know how anybody can even survive on that and running around and doing 10 jobs a day. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Real quick, I was thinking about building a house out in the middle of nowhere. What's your idea on geothermal heat pumps?
They're great. They're expensive.
You know better than to just leave me one word.
They do a phenomenal job. Because we've got one client that has one. His electric bill is like $500 a year.
A year?
Year. Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
His average is, you know, $75, $80 a month.
Just because he's not, you know, running a heating and cooling system.
Well, his heating and cooling system is geothermal, so the idea is you get the pipes down in the ground where the ground temperature is pretty constant, and it just doesn't take any energy to heat and cool that house as long as it's insulated properly.
But how deep do you have to go?
Around here, the bottom of the trench, you want to go, if you're doing trenches, horizontal loops, you have to go 6 feet.
6 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Deep enough to bury.
But that's, I mean, that's... that's a heck of a ditch witch right there.
Yeah. Well, they do it with a trench. I mean, you've got like a 24-inch bucket on it. You're going in, you put one pipe at the bottom of the ditch, and then you come up 2 feet and then lay the other pipe. So that's, it goes out and comes back. And so your average depth is 5 feet. And the idea is it's about 50 degrees constant temperature right there.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to jump over to you because we're going to do some hypotheticals. Okay. Because one of my favorite things to do is follow alternative building styles. Okay. And yes, I did look, I was surfing.
And I do not follow them very often.
I was surfing around the MLS the other day. I found two lighthouses out in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay for sale.
Awesome.
Yes. And I'm like, I could live in a lighthouse.
Yeah.
Uber Eats would be expensive.
Yeah.
But
no pizza delivery.
I'm seeing a rise in alternative building. I wanted to get your opinion, both of you, on some of them. Cargo container buildings.
I have seen plans for one. I've not participated in one, but the people that have them seem to love them.
I mean, it's $3,000 to buy one container.
Yeah.
You could buy four containers and have a huge house.
Yeah. If you're a welder, you can do it yourself.
Yeah. But you go back to the spray foam you were talking about. Yeah. This, I mean, that's, you put in all your pipes, put in all your wiring, spray foam over top of it, everything. You got a home.
You got a home, yeah.
All right. How about underground houses? Ever dealt with any of those?
No, but I've had a home with a basement.
But see, that's another type of building that I've always liked. I've never understood why it didn't take off because, again, the heating and cooling is next to nothing if you're underground.
Yeah.
I knew somebody, they had an underground house, the whole front of it was glass that faced south. Their heating bill was nothing in the wintertime. And their cooling bill is nothing in the summertime.
Right. Constant temperature.
All right. So I'm going to throw out one last one, see if you know anything about this type of building. Ready? Cobb building?
Nope.
Do you know what Cobb building is?
Nope.
Cobb building is, and I can take, you can take a class down in Tennessee, started in Europe. It is a mixture of straw, mud, water, and sand.
As long as the big bad wolf doesn't come along, I'm good.
They're literally, it started in Italy more than any place else. There are houses over there that are 500 and 600 years old built by this method.
Wow.
And you just mix sand and mud and straw and just, you build a hobbit house. You can mold it like silly putty. So, all right, guys. So my voice is not getting better. In fact, if anything, it's going to get worse. So you are now being recruited for the later show. Are you down?
We're down.
All right. I am joined and thanking Kirk Akey from Akey's Home Improvement. Give us your website.
AikeysHomeImprovements.com.
A-I-K-E-Y apostrophe S. And it's 216-9371.
Correct.
And Everett Williamson from BREMACT, you have a website.
BREMACAir.com.
And the phone number is?
559-8763.
And my name is Richard McCann, M-C-K-A-N-N. You can email me, RichardMcCann@Hotmail.com. Follow me on Facebook, which is, I'm pretty active on the weekends. That's about it. Not a big Facebook guy. But you can also follow me on Twitter. And for those of you who have been wondering, where's the podcast? Where can they find the podcast, Zach?
On iTunes and Google Play.
And it is the Home Improvement Show, or the Home Show with Richard McCann. How are they listening to it? I don't know. I think it's the Home Show with Richard McCann. That's the way I think I saw it. So for those of you, there's got to be at least 20 hours up there because we had a lot stockpiled. Thanks to Zach for coming in early. You guys for coming in and helping me out. Holly's husband for sitting over there and in the corner and
the
doing
whatever.
The son-in-law, yes. My name is Richard McCann. I'll be back here at 10 o'clock right here. News Radio, WRVA. This is the Home Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.